I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Heard about Anchor. It is the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your own phone or computer. Anchor will also distribute your podcast so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more podcast platforms. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started today.
Happy Halloween, everyone, as today is indeed Saturday, October 31st. This is episode number 34 of the YWC Football Talk podcast, and I've had Giants fans on before. I've had multiple fans of different teams on the show before, but this is the first time ever that I have a Philadelphia Eagles fan on. Break the Walls 10, Bobby Gross is here. We've got a lot to talk about. We're going to get into our predictions for Week 8. Maybe talk a little bit of fantasy football here and there. He's going to bitch about Howie and the Eagles. But Bobby, man, welcome to the YWC Football Talk podcast.
Thanks for having me, Griff. I mean, this has been in the works for a little bit now. You know, just work schedules have been complicated. I work nights and usually record during the week. But we're here on a Saturday, Halloween. There's supposed to be a full moon tonight. So, you know, crazy stuff might be happening tomorrow. Who knows? It might translate over. But I'm happy to be here, man.
Happy to be here. And we've also, unfortunately, though, we've hit the halfway point of the NFL season. And everyone says, oh, why is it unfortunate? Because every year I always say, I'm so excited. We have to wait 7 months between the Super Bowl and Week 1 kickoff. And out of nowhere, it's already Week 8. Like, the season, like the regular season's halfway finished. Like, it's just, oh, people's like, oh, it's been great. But at the same time, too, it's like, you know, we're on the second half, so the regular season's slowly going to start to burn. And this is a great week to have you on because we've got a lot of good games that we get to talk about.
Oh, yeah, a lot. And that's funny, too, man, because especially this year, like, with everything going on, it's both the slowest and the fastest year of all time. Like, I feel like we've been in this thing for so long, but yet I can't believe that it's almost a day before November and, like, football season halfway over, like you said. It's unbelievable. But yeah, should be a great week of games.
Yeah, and that actually got started off Thursday night, which it wasn't like a good game, but it wasn't a bad game either. I don't know if you got to watch it or any of the highlights between Atlanta and Carolina, but the Falcons actually did not blow a comeback, and they won. The only thing I got to say about that game was you know what? I enjoyed it. That's all I think I got to say. No complaints.
Yeah, here's what I do, Griff. I'll let you in on a little thing. So yeah. I know buddy Danny, who is big into the sports betting, right? And because I'm in New Jersey, sports betting is legal here.
Yes.
So what I've been doing for every week of this season is I'll do a parlay, which means pick multiple games. You pick some kind of prediction. You know, you could either take the spread. You could take
the over-under.
Out the winner of the game. So I've been doing like 14 parlays this whole season, right? $10. You put in 10 bucks. Usually the payout ranges from, like, depending on what you pick, it'll be from like 90 to maybe like 150 in a payout. I've yet to win, Griff. I've yet to win one of these things. It's pissing me off. And of course, one of the games that I had in this week's parlay was the damn Panthers and Falcons. And I picked the Panthers. So of course, already Thursday night, my parlay's done for the week. I was pissed off about that. So that's pretty much, I didn't see the game, but that's what I take away from that game. I hate the Falcons. I hate the Falcons. I wish for them to lose the rest of the season. And Bridgewater's great, though. It sucked to see him get hurt, but I love Bridgewater. I'm glad to see that he's got a home there in Carolina.
Yeah, and also, too, like, I do that, too, up here with, because I know New Jersey, I believe, was the first state to make betting legalized, and I know that Caesars has become a big part, Caesars and DraftKings have become a big partner of the NFL. And also, you see FanDuel, like, you literally watch the NFL Network or an NFL game on a Sunday, and, like, half the commercials are either for, like, Pizza Hut, or betting, because they know that it's a huge market to capitalize on. I do it up here
100%.
Too. I do it up here too, where I pick three to four games on a thing called ProLine, where I basically just go to like a gas station or whatever. I want to download the app, but it's too risky. I don't want to get like into that hole. Like, oh hey, just press this button and like money.
Yeah, it's too convenient.
Yeah. So then I basically the first week I did, which was week five, I did a pick. I just did pick three to win by eight. I picked the Cardinals over the Jets. I don't remember the other game, but I know they won by eight. And I picked the Chiefs over the Raiders. The fucking Chiefs let me down. And then the next week, too.
There you go.
I did win. That was win by eight. Next week, I did win by four. It was your Eagles who came back. I would have won, like, I think it was $90. But the Eagles got that last-minute touchdown to lose by two, and instead of eight, like, in there, I was just like, oh, for the love of God. And even, like, last week, too, on my over-under, it was Green Bay, Houston, 2.5 points. I needed them to score just 2.5 more points. That's my bitching about gambling.
That's the tricky thing with the sports betting, is that you can have a game to where you're like you said, you're in within the spread that you picked, but then it can be in like garbage time and these defenses just choose not to play anymore, and there will be just a touchdown or a field goal that screws everything up. But I've been there, Griff. That sucks. That's why I choose not to do the money line too many times. I'd rather pick a team out. If it's like an underdog, it pays more.
Yeah.
But the money line is tricky. It's real tricky.
It is, and
Literally every commercial here, because you know, I'm not big into sports radio. I kind of just recently got into listening on to my drives to work. Literally every commercial is DraftKings, FanDuel. It's crazy because New Jersey makes, I think they made like something like $300 million so far this year or this past quarter. It's insane. But yeah, it's convenient. It's just on the phone. You enable your location. You pick any game you want. I'm sure there's a lot of people addicted to this thing. I'm not one of those. I put my $10 a week and then that's it.
I'm the same. I bet $10 because if I lose, I just go, hey, it was just $10. I don't want to be one of those people that are going like, I can't believe it. Like I'm betting like $100 on one game. Like, no, I could if I wanted to. It's just that's money I choose not to spend.
And that's tricky. That I was kind of doing that last season. I put it on myself. Listen, you're only getting $10 a week to do the parlay because, listen, if I win every week, I expect that. But let's say if I lose four and then on the fifth one I hit, well, most of the time those parlays are going to be like a $100 payout or something like that, depending on what you pick. So that's like doubling your money, even though you lost the previous 4 weeks. So that's fine with me. I'm good with that.
Exactly. And speaking of games, we are going to get into games this week. I'm going to also list – I've been doing this lately where I list the over-under, and then I say the spread as well just to help you guys bet and everything. And the first game that's on my app is honestly probably the game of the week, and that's the Pittsburgh Steelers visiting the Baltimore Ravens. The over-under is 46.5, and the Ravens are a 4.5-point favorite. I put out a poll last Sunday saying, and no disrespect to you guys, but I was just like, there are two other games I'd rather see in this spot, and one was Bills-Patriots, which I changed my thoughts midway through the second quarter of that game, of the Patriots-Niners game, and the other one was Ravens-Steelers. I understand Cowboys-Eagles, they're not going to flex the Cowboys out just because that's a classic rivalry, and for all the shitting I've done in the AFC East games, a lot of them are actually pretty decent, but with Ben DiNucci, we'll talk about that later. This game doesn't deserve to be in a 1 o'clock time slot.
No, this is one that should be Sunday night, Monday night. I mean, listen, I like the 1 o'clock games just because it adds more because I have red zone. Yeah. So it's awesome to see all these games going and seeing all the highlights and the scoring. But yeah, it's like when you have, like you said, when you have the Eagles and the Cowboys in a Sunday night game. There's a rivalry, but both teams suck. It doesn't really matter. That's one I wish we could have gotten that 1 o'clock or even the 4 o'clock game of the week on Fox. That would have been even better because Steelers and Ravens. That's gonna be a hell of a game. And you know what? I might even with the spread, I think I'm going to take this. I would take the Steelers. The Steelers are playing great football right now. Believe me, I know. We played them a couple weeks ago, and we kind of made a little bit of a comeback at the end, but it was, again, it was garbage time, so who cares? But that team, they have it together. Mike Tomlin's one of the best coaches in football. And the Ravens right now are struggling on offense for whatever reason. Lamar is having a good season, but he's not having the type of season that he had last year. They don't really have a run game. They're not using Dobbins enough. Ingram's always hurt now. They don't have the receivers. You have Mark Andrews at tight end, which he's a stud. But, yeah, they're struggling, and the Steelers are rolling. So even if it's in Baltimore, I'm taking the Steelers to win this game.
Before I get into my pick, I just want to point out two things. One, we do get this game on primetime Thanksgiving night. So that's going to be – well, there's two games of crap we have to sift through on Thanksgiving. But then – oh, well, your Thanksgiving. My Thanksgiving was a few weeks ago. That's the game.
Real Thanksgiving,
the real Thanksgiving, the American Thanksgiving, Thursday night football is Ravens Steelers, so thank you, NFL, for that. But I found this stat on Twitter through a retweet from Diana Russini of ESPN from someone named Daniel Valente from the Score Media, which is up here in Canada. And it says, Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, Miles Sanders, Kareem Hunt, David Johnson, and Melvin Gordon have all gone up against the Steelers' defense this year. They're combined for just 294 rushing yards. They're gonna dare Lamar to throw tomorrow, and that's where I'm going Pittsburgh too. Two reasons. One, because I called it at the beginning of the year that Pittsburgh's a dark horse, and I said if this team's healthy, they can make a legit run towards Tampa at the end of the year. When I say that, I don't mean, oh, they're gonna play the Bucs. I'm saying Tampa's what the Super Bowl is. I think right now, I think it's gonna be Chiefs, Steelers, AFC Championship. But Pittsburgh's just looked unstoppable. Like, you go last week, even though, too, like, Tennessee had a little comeback, but they just, like, pounced that Tennessee defense on third down. Like, they couldn't stop anything. And they're going to force Lamar to throw, which at the same time, too, he's not the best thrower, but there's some ball hawkers, like, Minka Fitzpatrick in that secondary for Pittsburgh. Yeah. They got some other players. Bud Dupree, TJ Watt are going to be coming off the line. So, this is a game I still think it'll be close. Like, I think this, like...
Oh, yeah.
I'm still picking the Steelers, but like I said before, man, this Pittsburgh team is a team not to mess with, and they got Dallas next week, and if you look at Pittsburgh's schedule going forward, they've got a bunch of cupcakes. Like, they still have to play, I think, the football team. They still have to play, like I said, Dallas. They have Cincinnati still, which I think twice, and it's just one of those things where I don't see many L's on that schedule. Like, this is going to be a 13-3 or 12-4 team at worst case scenario.
They're going to give the Chiefs a run for the number one seed in the AFC. There's no doubt about it. I mean, you look at what James Conner has done this year. Like, he had a slow start. He got hurt in the beginning of the year. He's running all around the field here. Chase Claypool, believe me, as an Eagles fan, I know what Chase Claypool is all about. That was an unbelievable game he had against us. Deontay Johnson, Juju Smith-Schuster. I mean, they're on a roll right now. And Ravens, they're 5-1, but they don't look the part so far. And like you said, I mean, that's deal. And the Ravens run game is Lamar Jackson. They don't have a running back there. So, yeah, I think this is lining up for the Steelers to I guess, upset the Ravens, no doubt.
Yeah, it's weird that they're the underdog, but at the same time, and also, too, the one thing I want to point out quickly is that there's four teams I see right now making the playoffs in the NFC, not the NFC, in the AFC, but we'll kind of fill out the blanks with the three other wild cards, two wild cards in one division. But I think it's Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Kansas City, and Tennessee. I think those are your four playoff teams right now in the AFC, and the rest is kind of going to be filling the blanks as the season goes along. Which, another team that could fill in the blank, I'm just going to move on to our next game, is the Colts visiting the Lions in a game I'm going to call, like, are we sure they're good? Because both teams have shown moments of, hey, they can play, but both teams also have sucked completely this year. So, like, I think this is going to be a very telling team for both teams' playoff chances.
Yeah, I would probably, I don't know what the spread is, but just on paper, I would think that the
Colts 2.5.
This one, yeah, I think they probably beat that spread, honestly. I think the Lions just aren't a good football team, honestly. I think Matt Patricia isn't a good football coach. Their track record isn't there. I mean, listen, they've been winning the past couple weeks, no doubt about it. But I love what Frank Reich is doing there. in Indianapolis the past couple of years. I love what he's been doing. He's not been surrounded by the best talent offensively. I mean, listen, where's T.Y. Hilton? He has done nothing this year. The regression is unbelievable, but Phillip Rivers is still getting the job done. They got Jonathan Taylor, the rookie running back. I like him a lot. You know, the Lions, they got Galladay back from injury a couple weeks ago, and that's when they've been starting to win, which is good. But I'm not a believer in the Lions. I think the Colts take this one.
I'm in the same. I think, and also the over-under is 49.5 in this game, but I'm going to go Colts as well, and if I had to say a score, I'm going to go probably with, like, let's say 28-17. Like, I think the Lions have a few good drives, but at the end of the day, I think the Colts are just too much for the Lions to handle. Like, this is that game where everyone looks at the Lions and goes, okay, what you did against, like, Jacksonville and Atlanta was cute, but now we know, okay, yeah, this isn't a good team. What were you going to say there?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if the Colts... I wouldn't be surprised if the Colts take this by double digits. I mean, listen, the Lions, they're a poverty franchise. I'm sorry, Detroit, but that's just the case. They're a poverty franchise. Colts, I think it'll be a closer game, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's double digits either.
Okay, sounds good. And then the next game we have is a divisional round, which I think we're going to be 3-for-3 in our picks this week too, as the Vikings visit Lambeau, where the Packers are a 6.5-point spread, which... I'm going to come out and say it right now. I think the Packers cover that as well, even though I could see it being a similar game to Indianapolis and Detroit. But with this game, like, Minnesota's one of those franchises where you look at it and you go, like, what the hell is wrong with you guys? Like, they have the talent. It's just, I feel like because everyone was extended there this year, and, like, I feel like Mike Zimmer and Rick Spielman feel like, hey, we have job security, so if we suck this year, well, they're not going to fire us because they still have to pay us.
I don't understand the Vikings either. I just don't. You look at them on paper, at least the offense. The defense is a whole nother story. I'm not impressed by the defense. But, you know, 1 week Minnesota will explode for like 30 points, and the next week they score 13. It's unbelievable. But, you know, listen, they have Dalvin Cook coming back this week. Justin Jefferson, he is a stud. And, man, do I wish the Eagles took him. But, you know, and Thielen is flourishing as that number one wide receiver right now. It's all about, I think, listen, I might take the Vikings just to cover the spread. I don't think they're going to win the game, but I don't think that they're lose by a touchdown. I don't think that's going to happen. It's a division game. They're going to play them tough. I know the Vikings are 1-5, but I think it'll be a closer game than 6.5. But listen, Green Bay, what they're doing right now, Aaron Rodgers is, in my opinion, he's the MVP of this year. I can't believe what he's been doing without Davante Adams for a lot of the season. I mean, he was back last week, but I mean, for them to be 5-1 at this point in the season, and they look better than last year. So yeah, I think the Packers win it, but I think the Vikings cover the spread.
Yeah, like what I said before, where I thought this game would be like Indianapolis-Detroit, where they're too much to handle, I kind of agree with you in a sense where I feel like this could be Baltimore-Philly, where Green Bay's up big, and then Green Bay's defense kind of lets their guard down, and then this could be a big... we haven't yet discussed this, but for fantasy football, I think this could be potentially be a bit of a good game for Dalvin Cook, because as we saw 2 weeks ago, Green Bay is not good against the run, so... If you're playing daily fantasy out there, I recommend like maybe picking up Dalvin Cook or even like it, just for daily fantasy, because obviously in every league he is it's just a very interesting play in the college game. Dalvin Cook's one of those guys where I feel like tomorrow he's going to eat the ball a lot. Kirk Cousins is going to rely on him in a similar situation, which we'll see in another game coming up later in that day. But at the same time, too,
it's gonna be all on Kirk Cousins' shoulders. Yeah. Man. I mean, they're going to run the ball. Madison, I mean, when he took over for Cook 2 weeks ago, he didn't look great. He was just lost out there. But Cook coming back is going to help that offense. But Kirk Cousins, I mean, he's Jekyll and Hyde, man. 1 week he can look great. He can be throwing for 400 yards. The next week he can be turning the ball over 3 times and throw for like 150, something crazy like that. But yeah, Packers are still going to win this game.
Yeah, I'm going to say Packers. I'm going to go 28-24. Somewhere along those lines.
I'll go Packers 27-24. I think it'll be like a three-point game.
True. And the next one is a game that means a lot to me, a game everyone's going to have their eyes on, and that's the Patriots visiting the Bills. This is a game Bills fans have been excited for all season long. This is a game Patriots fans are kind of looking at now as, and I'm on this phase two where it's, hey, this is a now or never game, because if the Pats lose this and the Bills go to 6-2 and the Patriots go to 2-5, that's a tough, tough hole to climb out of. But part of me wants to be optimistic, but there's a part of me, too, that's going like, I have no idea what to expect tomorrow with this New England Patriots team.
Yeah, this is make or break for New England. I mean, if they lose this game, I think their season's over. I mean, 2-5, and like you said, the Bills would be 6-2. And Miami, you know, who knows? They might start exploding. They might be making this comeback with Tua as their quarterback now. I mean, and they're already 3-3, so they have a better record than the Patriots. This could be a trap game, like I was telling you before we started, for the Bills. Even though, you know, the Bills are 5-2, but they haven't played like that, man. They don't look good. The defense is great, but again, that offense, Josh Allen has been struggling lately. But you look at what New England has on offense. I mean, there's nothing there. There's absolutely nothing in New England offensively. I mean, people were like saying, oh, Cam Newton, man, that those first 2 weeks, Cam Newton, I mean, how did nobody pay this guy? And he was doing great, but listen, he got COVID. He came back. Maybe it was too soon. Maybe he's still feeling something with that. But Bill Belichick did not surround him with anything to work with in the offseason. I mean, they signed the guy. They claimed that Newton was in a competition with Stidham, but I mean, it was Cam's job. Let's be real. He has nobody there to throw to, nobody to run the ball. It looks bad in New England, but listen, they're going to play the Buffalo tough. I think the Bills are still going to win this game, but I would not be surprised if New England just comes out of nowhere and wins this on like a 2-minute drill in the fourth quarter with Cam. I wouldn't be surprised with that at all.
I'm in the same boat as you. This honestly pains me to do, but I always try to look at this realistically and I try to make my picks as non-homer as possible. I kind of did it last week with San Francisco Patriots over the Niners, and it bit me in the ass terribly. I'm going to say Buffalo wins this game too, just based off of what we've seen, but there's part of me that's just hoping that tomorrow the Patriots come out with a fight and purpose, because if they go if they're 3-4 after this game and Buffalo is 5-3, Buffalo's going to be falling, like what we saw with Cleveland 2 weeks ago when they got absolutely stomped by Pittsburgh, where, hey, you're 4-2, but it seems like you're 2-4 right now, just because with Cleveland, obviously, they are still a little brother, and until 4 o'clock tomorrow, Buffalo potentially still is little brother to New England. So, and also, too, it comes back to this. Bills-Patriots, Monday Night Football, Week 16. If the Patriots can find the gas pedal in the second half of the season like what they normally do, like they didn't do it last year, obviously, because last year they got off to this great 8-0 start, and then ever since then the earth has fallen because they had so many layups and cupcakes at the start of the year. Now their schedule starts to get a little slower, a little easier, where after this, hey, they've got the Jets twice still. They've got Houston. They've got Arizona, which is a potential winner. You got the Chargers and the Dolphins. The only games in there where I look at the Patriots as potential losses is Baltimore, the Rams, and maybe the Cardinals. So for now, and also, too, I'm going to say this with tomorrow's game. Tomorrow's going to be a very ground-heavy game just because the weather in Buffalo is supposed to suck. It's supposed to be like rain and cold, I think in like the 40 somewhere, which I know you guys, you're Fahrenheit, I'm Celsius, but I know 40 isn't exactly ideal football weather in the rain. I'm going to say it's still a close game, so where New England kind of has optimism going forward, but I'm going to go 17-14, Bills.
I'm probably going to go like Bills 20, Patriots 14, something like that. Listen, Bill Belichick just did not – I wasn't a Patriots fan or Patriots believer going into the season. I didn't think they would be this bad, though. I mean, they've just looked awful. And, you know, part of the problem, too, not just offense, that defense is completely changed from last year. The defense is what – I mean, Brady, let's be honest, Brady didn't look great last year, but what carried that team was the defense, and they let a lot of guys go. It's just not the same defense. But, you know, the Bills' offense is struggling right now, so I don't think it's going to be the defense that loses the game. It's going to be on Cam's shoulders, and, you know, I don't know what he can do. I mean, he hasn't done much in the past couple weeks without anybody there, but who knows? Maybe he just has to just keep running for his life, and he'll sneak into the end zone a couple times. But, yeah, it's definitely the Bills' game to lose for sure.
Oh, I agree with you 100% on there. This is Buffalo's game to lose. And also, too, I feel like the defense will do their job in containing Josh Allen, similarly what we saw with New England doing 2 weeks ago against Drew Lock. So if it's literally tomorrow, it's all on Cam. It's on Cam's shoulders. It's on – because even to last week, that defensive performance was horrendous. Like I said, we're going to have to find a way to take Kittle, Deebo Samuel out of the game. I didn't expect Jeff Wilson to have that game. I started Jerick McKinnon on my team, which bit me in the ass horribly. But Kittle looked like Kittle. And when you're playing against him and he looks like that, chances are you're going to lose. Moving on to the next game, which I know –
and, you know, Garoppolo doesn't have much there, so I mean Kittle's the number one. So especially since Deebo got hurt last game against you guys, so but yeah, Bills are going to take this
exactly. And the next game we've got is the Titans visiting the Cincinnati Bengals. Titans at a 7-point spread. That's a very tricky one that I saw from the beginning. And man, Tennessee has looked good, but at the same time too, there's been like games this year where I've said this before, they barely beat Denver. They barely beat Minnesota. They barely beat Jacksonville. And even, too, last week, they did not look good against Pittsburgh, because I know after the game against – and also, too, Houston. They had to take Houston to overtime to beat them, who's looked horrendous this year. Tennessee right now, they need a statement victory, and if you're going to do it, tomorrow is the game to do it.
Yeah.
But I'm going to trust Joe Burrow enough to where this game's very similar-ish to – Vikings-Packers, where, you know what, I'm going Tennessee, but I think the Bengals keep it within a 7-point spread.
You know what, I think I would take the Titans with the points, honestly. That 7 points, I think it's going to be a blowout game. The Titans are pissed. Last week did not go their way. I mean, they just looked lost in that first half and then turned it around in the second, but I think Derrick Henry is going to run all over Cincinnati. He is a man possessed this year. He looks excellent. Didn't have the best game last, but listen, Cincinnati is missing a lot on offense right now. They have a lot of starters missing and Joe Burrow again. Like, nothing frustrates me more than when, you know, these franchises draft a quarterback and surround them with nothing, and then blame them for when the team doesn't work their magic. You know, look at what the Jets did with Darnold. I mean, just not the best situation to be in. But excuse me, Joe Burrow looks great. I mean, he looks really, really good. But I think the Titans are going to be possessed this week, and they're gonna destroy. Excuse me, they're gonna destroy the Bengals. I think Tannehill. Listen, big rat. A good quarterback, Ryan Tannehill. I'm still dying on this hill. Ryan Tannehill is not a good quarterback. He's surrounded by weapons. He's surrounded by Derrick Henry, who carries that offense. I just had to throw that in there. I'm sorry, Griff. I think Tannehill's a good quarterback. I'm just busting.
It's fine. Balls. That's what we do here.
But listen, the Titan, like I said, Titans are. I think 7 is generous, to be honest with you. I think 7 is gonna be double digits for sure. Titans all day.
I'm seeing this game go one of two ways, and that's either, you know what, the Bengals cover or the Titans just beat them by like 20 plus. And also, doesn't really help the fact when you got rid of Geno Atkins. It was Dunlap who went to Seattle, and also to DJ Reader being out for that defensive line. I think it's also, too, but tomorrow is November, which is Tractor Cito season. Something to point out.
That's true. That's true. But listen, do you think that there's any chance whatsoever that Cincinnati's going to beat Tennessee here?
Oh, good Lord, no. I think Tennessee's going to win. I think it's just a matter of if it's a close game or if it's an ass-whipping.
Yeah, I think it's going to be the latter. I think Tennessee's just going to destroy Cincinnati.
I'm going to die on the hill, I said, and disagree with you about the whole Cincinnati has a chance, just because you never know what you're going to get with Tennessee, especially with past track records. You know how before I said with the Colts-Lions, this is an Are We Sure They're Good game? It's the same thing, too, with this next game, and that's the Raiders at the Browns. This is also a game, too, where whoever loses, it's like New England, where not your season's over, but your playoff hill's a lot steeper to climb. And everyone's saying, oh, but Cleveland's 5-2, but have you looked who's ahead of Cleveland? And with Vegas, it's you're not winning the division. I know you beat Kansas City once, but Kansas City, that's the next game on the schedule. We all know who they're playing. I want to ask you, though, who do you got winning this game, Browns or Raiders?
I'm just not a believer in the Raiders. You know, I'm not a believer in Derek Carr. I think he's a fine quarterback, but he's not a franchise quarterback. I like the Browns this year. You know, that offense, again, it's one of those things where it's Hunt is there. He's been doing a great job out Chubb there. He's been a really good number one. But my God, I mean, look at what Baker Mayfield did last game. He was awful, awful, awful in that first quarter, first half. Oh, man, I'm getting choked up today. And then he just goes off in the second half. Like, four touchdowns, throws all – I mean, he looked outstanding. That's what you get from Baker Mayfield. I love that. Have you seen the meme of, you know, Baker Mayfield, like, his stats? Like, he'll suck. He'll the media doubts him. He'll go off. He'll brag about it to the media, and then it just repeats over and over again.
And then
that's the most accurate.
And then you fit. I was about to say, and you fit in there too, meme. His wife too. But no,
that's
I've seen the meme.
Accurate meme I've ever seen, because that's Baker to a T. I'm not a Baker believer, but that defense, the Cleveland defense, I like a lot. And Myles Garrett is just playing out of his mind right now. So yeah, I think they're gonna give. Oakland all that they have. I think the Browns take it. I think the Browns take it. And that AFC, the AFC North, man, that's a hell of a division this year. Browns, I think the Browns will beat them.
I'm going to go Cleveland too. And the only thing I was going to say earlier with, I do agree with the Baker Mayfield meme, because it also, if you look at a lot of these Big 12 quarterbacks, probably with the exceptions of Kyler Murray and Patrick Mahomes, not a lot of them have panned out in the NFL. I'm only saying Baker Mayfield, too, because, hey, guess where he went to school? Texas Tech, then Oklahoma. I'm going to go Cleveland, too, with this game, just because, look, I think, and here's the thing I also wanted to point out, because I heard yesterday on Pro Football Talk, which is a NBC Sports podcast, radio show, but also a podcast that I listen to, because I don't get NBC Sports. They were saying how, look, if you look at Matt Stafford's stats before and after Calvin Johnson retired, he got to be a better quarterback once Calvin Johnson left. So I got to wonder if it's going to be the same thing with Baker this week, where there's not pressure to throw. I know they still have Landry, but there's not that pressure there to get Odell the football, because every week it's always, oh, why doesn't Odell have too many catches? Or, oh, why is Odell playing like this? Unfortunately, Odell had his ACL tear, which all the best to him. But I feel like removing him out of the equation was only going to better Baker, just because, look, there's not pressure for Baker to make others look better. It's about Baker making himself look good. And the other meme I want to add to that wheel as well was his wife bitching to the media saying, oh, it's not fair, it's so tough to play in Cleveland, yada, yada, yada. But at the same time, too, it's like, it's not tough to play in Cleveland. It's just Baker's such a Jekyll and Hyde quarterback to where we don't know who we're going to get. But also, too, I got to respect the fact that, yeah, he's gone through four coaches in three seasons. Kevin Stefanski's actually managed to make him look good, but Cleveland, for me, is still the same situation as Buffalo till where they beat a Pittsburgh or a Baltimore. They're still not it. And as for Vegas, Vegas is the same thing where it's like, look, they're a good team. Their defense has still got a long way to go. And I'm going to make a WWE reference right now, because YWC's in the title. But Derek Carr's a B-plus quarterback. Let's be real.
Yeah. I've never been a Derek Carr believer. I know our buddy Miguel, he loves Derek Carr. He loves his Raiders. I don't see anything there. I mean, listen, Ruggs looks pretty good. He's been a little banged up, but Ruggs looks good. Josh Jacobs is a stud running back. It's just I don't see much there. There's no substance. And I think for Cleveland, specifically for Baker without Odell, he's got to start using his tight ends more. Like, the Cleveland goes out and signs Austin Hooper, who had a career year in Atlanta last year, and he just he's not producing the same way. You have Hooper and Njoku, man. Like, you got to start using those guys. Landry, you know what you get from Landry. He's a ball catching machine. But because Odell leaves the game last week and Baker starts going off. So is that a coincidence? Who knows? But yeah, this is gonna definitely be a game to where we can kind of judge the Browns' offense without Odell and see how they do.
Exactly, because also too, like, you saw him getting the ball to, like, Harrison Bryant, another tight end. Peoples Jones looked good. That was probably his first ever good game because he was a stud. I'm just at Michigan because right now it's a Michigan State Michigan game. There's just these things where for a lot of these players, like I said now too, it's on Baker, but then also too, you're right with Austin Hooper, where Austin Hooper hasn't accomplished a whole lot since arriving to Cleveland, which was a very interesting move for him. But I guess Atlanta thought, hey, we're going to get Hayden Hurst and we'll be better off with him. Even though Hurst has looked good, but man, Hooper's just on that next level for tight end.
Yeah.
The next game, like I said before,
hopefully it's not just like it could be an Atlanta thing, you know? Maybe it's just that they're tight ends, you just put anybody down there and they produce, but I like Hooper, so that, you know, they just got to use him more in the offensive game.
Yeah. Exactly. This next game, I don't want to take too much time on it. I have one question for you. 19.5 points. Do the Jets cover? That's literally my only question about this game. Because the Jets covered last week against the Bills.
I personally, I don't know how you can give a professional sports team 19.5 points to start the game. That is insane to me. So I tend to, lean towards taking the 19.5. I think the Jets will cover that because, you know, the Jets are the Jets. But they're still, the 32nd best football team in the country. You know, they're part of the NFL. They're a professional football team. 19.5 points. That's a college spread.
Yeah.
That's a college spread. And as good as the Chiefs are, I don't know, man. Like, would I be surprised if they lose by, 20, 25? Something like that? No. But just, I don't know. I find out if I didn't put it in my parlay this week. I probably should have. If I'm a betting man, 19.5 points, no matter who it is. That's hard to pass up. Of course, the Chiefs are going to blow them out, but it's a matter of, like you said, of how many points. I would probably choose the Jets to cover, to be honest.
Like, I'm in the same boat, but 19.5. Watch. Fucking Kansas City's gonna win 28-10 or but they're gonna win by 18 just to fuck with everyone who picked Kansas City to cover. Cause how I said before, everyone thought Baltimore was gonna cover 7 points, no problem against the Eagles, sorry. And how last week everyone thought the Bills were gonna cover, I think it was 13, and they only won by 8. Which for a while there it looked like the Jets were gonna win that game. And if you're the Bills, that's another reason why I have some optimism for tomorrow with New England. But this Jets team, I always said this from the beginning when they fired Todd Bowles and then they gave Adam Gase a job for some bizarre reason. I'm like, do you really expect this team to be good when you have Adam fucking Gase leading your squad? Absolutely not. And we've come to learn that this team's probably going to go 0-16. Best case scenario, I think 1-15. I think they steal one division game, which hopefully not. If it is Miami, Big Rat. But
I mean, you look at the Jets' schedule, too. It's brutal. It is a brutal schedule. Listen, I'm on the same boat with you. Believe that the Jets hired Adam Gase as their head. He's the opposite of a player. I mean, look what he did. He ran Jay Ajayi out of town, and he was one of the main reasons why the Eagles won the Super Bowl that year. He ran Kenyon Drake out of town. He wanted to run Devontae Parker out of town. And since Gase left Miami, Devontae Parker has been unbelievable there. So yeah, he is one of the worst coaches I've seen in a long time in the league. Somehow, I know once he gets fired this season, somehow this dude is going to get another job. I don't know how, but some stupid franchise is going to hire this guy, He is awful.
Jacksonville!
And, man, I mean, listen, their GM Joe Douglas came over from Philly. I like Joe Douglas a lot. Once they take Lawrence in the draft, I'm going to be interested to see what moves they make otherwise in the offseason that Joe Douglas finally has. He can build his team. But, yeah, this season is lost. I would not be surprised if they go 0-16. But, yeah, the Chiefs are going to stomp the hell out of the New York Jets this week.
Their December, January is a stretch from hell for a team like them. Versus Raiders, at Seahawks, at Rams, versus Browns, at Patriots.
Yeah.
Like, good Lord.
All losses. All losses.
The only chance I see for potential wins is week 11 at LA, the Chargers, and then week 12 versus Miami. I could see Miami just like maybe having a bad game and losing. Besides that, though, this team's going 0-16.
Put some respect on the Chargers' name, man. I mean, if they weren't the Chargers, they'd be at least five. I mean, they find ways to lose somehow. But that team is a good team. I cannot believe the record that they have this year. Herbert looks amazing. That offense is clicking. You know, they're having problems with their running backs, but I mean, Keenan Allen's having an unbelievable year with Herbert. Listen, I like the Chargers this year. I think they're going to make a second half comeback. I think they're going to push for the playoffs. Honestly, I like the Chargers a lot. And who knows with Miami how they're going to look with Tua? Tua could be, you know, a Mahomes. He could be a Lamar Jackson. We don't know. This is going to be an interesting game this week, just to see how he does with the bye week, working with the first team. I'm excited for the Dolphins too. They're going to be an exciting team to watch.
That's our next game on the docket is Rams at Dolphins. And look, I'm not saying the Chargers suck. I'm just saying, watch. That's a game where, like how you said, they find new ways to lose. Like for the last two seasons, they're like some ridiculous, like I think it was like 3-11 in like games under 7 points. So like it's just one of those like mind-boggling stats where if it goes the other way around, even last year, the Chargers make the playoffs and the same thing this year too. But looking here at the next game with the Jets, not the Jets, we're done. We didn't even have to say it. We all know Kansas City's winning that game. But the Rams at the Dolphins, it's not the most ideal game for him considering who's on the other side of the ball. And one other point I wanted to make about earlier, I know I go off on bits a lot, people make fun of me for it, but it's true. Myles Garrett, I think, is he's a Defensive Player of the Year candidate, straight up. That's only one point I wanted to get in.
100%.
But this game right here, honestly, if Tua can be Tua, the Dolphins will win this game. Where if we get the same Tua as Alabama, if you know what, it's going to be like Alex Smith where he's going to take those first couple hits and everyone's going to kind of hold their breath. But if he gets up and he's good and he's making plays with his receivers and also like with like Gaskin, Gesicki, who I really like down there. Part of me kind of roots for Miami just because of Brian Flores and everything and, like, how they're kind of New England South. I know that sounds weird for me to say because I'm a Pats fan, but
no, he's a good coach.
Brian Flores is the best, and Mike Vrabel counts sort of, but out of the New England coaching tree, Brian Flores is the best coach to come out of there. I said everyone's all, what about Mike Vrabel? But Mike Vrabel played. Brian Flores was with New England since, I think, 2004 and 2005. Also, too, I believe he's a Mets fan, so that may win some votes in your votes with you. Born and raised in Queens. He also cheered for the Giants until
Steve Cohen, baby. Steve Cohen.
I know you got to be happy about
that. Throw that in there. I know it's football talk, but Steve Cohen, let's go.
Yeah, it's all good. Hopefully, he revitalizes the area outside the stadium. That's the only thing I got to say. And it makes the team better. But with this football game, I also do picks on TikTok every week. I'm going Miami. I think it's just something. Tua's coming in. He's going to play well because it's the same thing, too, with Baker Mayfield, with Jared Goff, with you don't know who you're going to get. Because if you look at the Jared Goff against the Bears Monday night, and then if you look at the Goff who played last Sunday, 2 weeks ago Sunday night against the Niners, it's two different players. I always said from the beginning, Jared Goff's not the best quarterback in the league. I think he's way overpaid for what he is. Obviously, he got his team to a Super Bowl, but still, that's on, I believe, one of the worst calls in NFL, worst non-calls in NFL history. I'll beat that drum till the day I die. But man, Miami's just got something cooking this year. Where if they look good out of the gate, I think they win this game. I don't know. I'm not saying handily, but I'm gonna say like 24-21.
Yeah, man, I wouldn't be surprised if Miami takes it. I mean, for whatever reason, the Rams just can't piece everything together. Like, they have the talent there. There's no reason why they can't be one of the top teams in the NFC, and they just haven't been the past two seasons. It's just something is wrong there. There's something that needs to change. But like you said, man, I really like what Miami is doing. I mean, talk about doing a tank right. I mean, these guys, it took them, what, two seasons to start being competitive again? They stockpiled all those draft picks, and those picks have so far, I mean, they look pretty good. And Myles Gaskin, out of nowhere, is producing. He's a really, really good find. Miami. But, yeah, I think this – I'm so intrigued to see what Tua does, because I'm not, like I said, I'm not a college football guy, so I haven't really seen this guy play. From what I hear, I mean, really, he should have went like number one if it wasn't for the hip injury, I think it was. I think Miami, they're well coached. For some reason, you know, they're only 3-3, because honestly, I think they're gonna give the Bills a run for their money in the division. Honestly, I 100% think that, and this is a test for them. If they can beat the Rams, I think this is gonna be a statement game for them. And especially if the Bills lose, they're gonna come for that Bills ass for sure.
If the Dolphins, like, let's say tomorrow, if New England wins and Miami wins, the AFC East is open season, straight up.
I don't know, man. I think you're pushing it with the Patriots. Listen, the Patriots, I don't think they have much of a chance. I know that pains you to hear that, but listen, the eye test, it's not there in New England this year. I'm sorry, it's just not. Even if they win tomorrow against the Bills, it's going to be the Bills or the Dolphins division to lose.
I'm just saying that's my cautious, optimistic homer coming out in me.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you. It's hard to admit when your team sucks, but, you know, unless you're an Eagles fan, it's very easy to admit that.
You know how
the past few seasons, it's easy.
And like that, we're done the 1 o'clock window, actually, and now we're on to our first game of the 4 o'clocks.
That's a lot of 1 o'clock games, isn't it? Like, I feel like that's a lot. Because usually, I mean, they usually stack a lot in the 1 o'clock window and maybe like three or four in the four. But yeah, I wish there was more of a balance, honestly.
It's 8 games, so expect an Octobox to start 1 o'clock, which confuses fuck out of my mother. I love my mom, but
I love Red Zone
too, but every time I watch and she comes in the room, she just looks at it and goes like, what is this sorcery?
I think it's like it's a generational thing too, because yeah, I get the same thing. Like, they want to watch one game, right? They want to watch one game, but they're also the people that's not playing fantasy football.
Yeah.
I mean, you and me, I mean, we're locked into fantasy football, so we're all about the Red Zone. It's like the best invention since sliced bread.
Yeah. Tomorrow though, I'll be locked into the one game just because of the circumstances and who they're playing, New England. But like, if New England was playing, like if this was Denver, like I'd probably be doing Red Zone. But the fact that, you know what, it is New England versus Buffalo, it's such a huge game.
Yeah.
I'm going to be locked into that game. But next Sunday, though, no Patriots. So next Sunday, I'm pure Red Zone, 100%.
It's complicated for me, right, because I'm in New Jersey. So very rarely do we get the Eagles games here. If you go South Jersey, that's where they get the Eagles games, because that's closer to Philly. So what I'll usually do is if the Eagles aren't on CBS or Fox, I'll put the game on my laptop. I'll find an illegal stream and put it on my laptop and then have Red Zone on the TV. But if the Eagles are on CBS or Fox, I'll put that game on the TV and then Red Zone on the laptop. So I'm always plugged in. But yeah, I can't get enough. I'm addicted to this thing. So I need Red Zone every week or else I'm going to have a panic attack.
Oh, I get that. The first game of the 4 o'clock window is actually a team we talked about earlier, and that's the Chargers going to Denver to visit the Broncos, where the Broncos actually did have a COVID scare this week. They had one player get it. The Vikings also did too, but they haven't affected any games or anything like that, which if you look at that situation with the NFL, I feel like they're doing a lot better than Major League Baseball did, but at the same time too, and this is one concern that a lot of executives have, is when those teams like who get out of the playoff race, say by Thanksgiving, are they going to give a shit anymore? That's my biggest concern.
I think, you know, I keep hearing this, that the NFL is doing a better job than baseball, and I don't know if I agree with that. I think football is just lucking out, because what – I have one guy test positive and give, like, maybe 1 or 2 days off from the facility for everybody and let them get tested. That's going to bite them in the butt one of these days, man, because there's incubation periods that they're just not – following, and we saw that in baseball, that one guy would test positive one day and then maybe 3 days later another guy would test positive. That hasn't happened yet in football, luckily, but I think I don't really like what Roger Goodell has been doing with these games. But yeah, listen, somehow none of these games have really been canceled or anything like that. They've just been pushed back, you know, reshuffled, but I have a feeling that there's just going to be a huge outbreak in one of these. Maybe that's just a pessimist in me, but I think especially now, because it's getting colder, the cases are going up everywhere.
Cold and flu season.
Yeah, so the luck is going to run out. But as far as this game goes, I mean, I'm a Chargers guy. I like the Chargers this year, so I'm going to pick the Chargers, but would I be surprised if somehow the AFC version of the Falcons choked this game away? No. No. Because that's what the Chargers are. They, like we said, they find these ways to lose. And, you know, it's just one of those things where it's just bad luck. You know, the talent is there in Los Angeles. I really like Herbert, like I've said. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting for sure.
I'm in the same boat where I'm going to go – the only other thing I want to say quickly, too, is for everyone going, oh, the NFL only cares about money, I go, well, yeah, no shit, Sherlock. That's the reason why the games haven't been canceled. That's the only reason why I condemn I applaud the NFL is the fact that no games have been canceled. There's been some shuffling around and stuff, but besides that, the fact that they haven't had to cancel any games I think is a personal W for the league. I still think Week 18 is going to probably happen, though, and they're going to have to get rid of the championship games are going to be when the Pro Bowl – usually is, which got canceled this year, which I don't think anyone batted an eye at. As for this game, though, I'm going to go Chargers because part of me straight up thinks that the Denver Broncos are just not a good football team. I'm not saying anything bad. Like, they do have the talent. It's just they need a new head coach in there. Like, Vic's a great defensive mind. But for this team, especially next year, when they get Cortland Sutton back healthy with Drew Lock, you need an offensive guy in there. You need someone who can coach offensive football well to coach this team. And the defense, too, like, the same thing. They've unfortunately had some bad injuries this year with, like, Von Miller going out and stuff. But I'm in the same boat as you. I'm going Chargers, but would it shock me if they were up, like, I don't know, let's say 24-10 and the Broncos ended up winning it, like, 30-24? No.
Yeah, it's... Listen, I don't know if Drew Lock's the guy in Denver. I mean, he had a, you know, pretty good showing last year when he took over, but... I don't know if he's the guy in Denver. And like you said, the Cortland Sutton injury was brutal, especially since, you know, I picked him and, you know, didn't get anything out of him. That's here nor there. But Melvin Gordon, I mean, listen, that's a guy that, you know, unlike Le'Veon Bell, I mean, he didn't hold out the whole season, but he did hold out. That's a guy that still, no matter the holdout, he's producing in Denver. You know, the Chargers, and don't think that that's not on his mind for this game. So, I mean, would it be something if Gordon just goes off against his former team? Yeah, I think it's possible. I mean, he's looked really good. But yeah, I think the Chargers are – the record doesn't reflect how good the team is. So I think they'll take it.
I'm in the same boat. And the next one, next game we've got is one that means kind of a bit to you just because of something I told you off air. But it's the Saints at the Bears. And I said this Tuesday night where I called Monday Night Football's game the Dennis Green game, where the Bears are who we thought they were. But at the same time, too, like, I don't get this team. Like, Matt Nagy's a good head coach, but we saw Monday night that McVay was playing chess while he was playing checkers. This team right here, the Bears, I'm going to say a comparison. They're the 2019 New England Patriots in 2020, where the offense is fucking wonky, but that defense is going to bail them out sometimes. Like, we saw how they beat Tampa, where there were all these games, like, where, oh, the, well, I do credit them offensively, though, against Detroit and Atlanta, but then there was a game against the Giants that they almost lost. So with the Bears, you don't know who you're going to get. And I think with the Saints, even though Thomas is out, this team's starting to click.
Yeah, for 100%. And Drew Brees is still somehow producing with nobody there to throw to. Like, I mean, Sanders was going off for a while there in Thomas's place, but he's hurt.
COVID.
Oh, what with Michael Thomas? I mean, he was healthy, but then they benched him because of disciplinary reasons, and then all of a sudden he's hurt again. I have no idea what's going on. There's something not good going on in New Orleans, but Chicago is one of those teams where, like you said, it's the defense that carries them. They don't have a run game. It's all on, like, Nick Foles' shoulders. And, you know, my man Big Dick Nick is going to get the job done most games. But then he's going to have those games where, you know, I mean, and Allen Robinson is banged up now. He's in the concussion protocol, I believe. So, I mean, that's going to be a game where I think the Saints – think that the Bears are going to do much on offense. And like you said, the Saints are trying to get things going. And I think they're going to, even without Thomas and Sanders, Kamara is having a great year. So, yeah, I would take the Saints.
And the one thing I wanted to add quickly with the whole...
Big Nick is my guy.
I understand. Alvin Kamara is having the kind of year where Michael Thomas was last year. He's just having a great year where last year, look, Alvin was hurt this year. Thomas has been out a lot. This is a game where I think you can win without Michael Thomas. It's next week against the Bucs where I'm like, they need him back. That's a big, big game because I know the Saints beat them once. The Saints beat them twice. It's going to be a lot harder for the Bucs to win the division. I pretty much feel like if the Saints were to win this game and next game, it's pretty much going to be the Saints division to lose at that point because we all know what the Saints do. They also run a very good system with, like, where you get a mix of, where Taysom Hill, there's a lot of situations this year with him that I don't know why they're putting him in there. But this may be kind of stupid to some people. But if I'm the Bears, why not start using Mitch in, like, a Taysom role? Because Mitch can run. His throwing's off. Meanwhile, Nick can throw. Nick Foles is a good thrower where he's just a stationary pocket quarterback. Mitch is creative where he can get elusive, he can get out of the pocket. So if they start running Mitch Trubisky in a Taysom Hill kind of sense, I don't see why Matt Nagy doesn't consider that, especially if they want to make a push towards the playoffs. Because with seven teams this year, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, Nagy's got to start getting creative because the offense is just not working right now. You know, Foles is doing everything that he can. You just got to start getting creative if you're Matt Nagy, and they're a pretender. I don't think that the Bears are going to do much this year. The Saints, on the other hand, like you said, I mean, this is a big game for them. They need to win this game. They need to go into the Tampa game next week with some momentum. And next week they're going to need everybody. Michael Thomas better be on the field because if he's not, that's going to be big trouble for them. But as far as this week goes. The Saints should take this, I think.
I think the Saints win, too. The spread's 4.5. I'm going to pick a score just for fun, and I'm going to say Saints win this 31-16. Scorigami.
I'll go 25.
Sorry, guys. We're just having some trouble with Bobby's video. I'm going to stop
this game. Oh, who knows? This might be a trap game for New Orleans.
I think the same thing. You did cut out before you said the score, though. What was your score? You said 25 to...
25-18. 25-18.
Oh, ooh.
It's a weird score, but, you know, who knows?
Scorigami, baby. The next game we have is the last 4 o'clock game on the window before I'm going to let Bobby take over. But this is another game which could be game of the week, and also, too, I think a potential... This is a huge game for divisional and playoff implications already. I know everyone's saying, oh, it's still November, but I'm like, hey, with football, there are games in October, November, where I've done this before as a Pats fan. I did this last year, too, where I was like, oh, if only we had won this one game, we'd be in a different story where the Miami situation wouldn't have had to occur, where if that we lose to Miami, it's not a big deal. That's this game right here with the Niners and the Seahawks. Because San Francisco, even though they're banged up to all hell, they're starting to find their groove, and... part of me is still not sold on the Seahawks. I know they lost their first game last week, but they're in that Tennessee Titan category where we're still trying to figure out, not for now where they are, but for where they're going to be in January.
Yeah, I really like the Seahawks this year. And if you don't think they're going to be pissed off after last week, you're mistaken, because they are going to come out. Russell is going to be throwing the ball like crazy. No matter who the running back is this week, it doesn't really matter. Russell is going to have an unbelievable game. Watch for Lockett to get like another 150, 200 yards in the air. Metcalf is going to go off. The Seahawks are pissed. And I don't think, to be honest with you, I think this might be a blowout. The Niners, I mean, listen, they're finding ways to win. They don't have much offensively. You know, everybody seems to be banged up. The Eagles. But it's one of those things where, you know, they're finding ways to win, but that's not going to be this week. This week, I think the Seahawks are going to stomp out the Niners. And, you know, it's a Seahawks division to lose anyway, so they might be in a little bit of trouble if they lose this game and the Niners get another game on them. But I think Seattle is just too good of a team, and they'll take this game.
I'm going to go different than you. I think that Seattle is going to be pissed off. They're going to come out firing. But at the same time, too, it's their... I want to see how their secondary does tomorrow, because I know San Francisco's banged up, but they still... Like, Brandon Ayuk's looked pretty good this year for them. George Kittle's still there. They're going to... They find ways to win. Like, look, last week, too, they had Jeff Wilson Jr., who came out of nowhere, and now they have Jermichael Hasty, who's probably going to be their starting running back. We don't know what Tevin Coleman's going to be, if it's going to be Jerick McKinnon. I'm going to say, though, I think this is going to be a shootout. I think this is going to be 38-35 San Francisco wins. This is going to be a game where, you know what, it's just back and forth, punching blows. But I think at the end of the day, I can see something where the Seattle defense is just... lets them down.
You know, I don't see it that way, man. I really don't. I'm not a Jimmy G believer. I don't think he's, you know, a franchise guy. He's good. He's fine. But I think he's going to struggle against this defense where, you know, you saw them beefing up the defensive line again, you know, with the trade with Dunlap. So we'll see what happens. I think the Seahawks are going to be pissed. They're going to be pissed. They should have won that game last week. They didn't, and they're going to take it out on the Niners. Division rivalry game, you know that even that is going to add fuel to their fire. Yeah, Seahawks got this, no doubt.
And we finish off Sunday with I'm going to let you just – you say whatever you want. This is your team, Sunday Night Football, Carson Wentz, Ben DiNucci, Bobby Gross, the floor is yours.
I mean, talk about a quarterback showdown for the ages. Carson Wentz and Ben DiNucci. Let's go. Listen, man. If you talked to me a couple weeks ago, I would have been way more pissed. It is what it is, what's going on with the team right now. We're starting to get healthy. There's still – I still don't think this is a good football team. There's a lot that's wrong with the team, starting with the offense. Listen, Wentz – I don't know. I just don't think that he's the guy. I really don't. I was such a Wentz guy before this season. You know, Billy, when Foles left, should we have chosen Carson Wentz over Nick Foles? I was on the Wentz bandwagon, man. And not even the bandwagon. I was his. He was my guy. Wentz was my guy. You know, even...
Sorry, folks, he's just cutting
huge
in and out.
Turnover problem. He still has a huge turnover problem, Carson Wentz. You know, he fumbles. It seems like he fumbles every goddamn game. It's frustrating as hell. He throws these stupid interceptions, but yet he somehow finds ways to produce with nobody around him. I mean, listen, he's throwing to practice squad guys, and that's going to change this week with Rager and Goddard coming. You know, it's just one of those things. It's just so frustrating to see him continue to struggle every week and put a Jalen Hurts in there for the same play over and over. There's no creativity with Jalen Hurts. You know, he was supposed to be a Taysom Hill type quarterback, that kind of role. He's
All right, folks, just stand by. I'll fix this in post, but Bobby's video feed keeps cutting in and out. I'm not sure what exactly is going on, so we will be back in just one sec. Sorry, folks, technical issues do happen from time to time, but we are back. Bobby, I'm going to give the floor back to you. Start wherever you want with this Eagles-Cowboys game. If some of it does lap over, guys, I do apologize, because like I say, can't control all technical issues.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just like I was criticizing the play calling of Doug Peterson. I think it's just a mess. I don't think he's the right offensive guy to lead the plays. He's very predictable. He's very one note. And defensively, I mean, listen, we've got guys that should be starting. You know, we draft these guys, you know, second, third, fourth round, and they don't play. We basically redshirt them, which makes no damn sense. And, you know, we just have all of these guys that we just have some kind of loyalty to. What Howie Roseman has done with this roster is just, it's pathetic, to be honest with you. We're not drafting right. We're not signing the right guys. I mean, we signed Jermon Hargrave from the Steelers this past offseason, and he's been completely invisible. You know, it just seems like nothing is going our way. But going into this game, I mean, listen, you want to talk about nothing going your way, that's a definition of Dallas this year. I mean, they have nothing going right. You know, Dak getting injured, Dalton getting injured, although it was a joke that they went with him as their quarterback. You know, when there's guys like Jameis Winston out there that you could probably trade for from New Orleans. Listen, I think the Eagles take this game, but that doesn't take away from the fact that we're going to struggle against the good teams. We'll see how Carson does this week. I mean, again, I don't have the utmost confidence in the guy. I think we, you know, if we start losing games, you have to consider putting Jalen Hurts in just to see what you have with the guy. I mean, he's been a second-round pick. I keep seeing him in option plays all season. So, yeah, it's just one of those things where, to be honest with you, I don't think this is going to be a close game. I think we probably destroy Dallas. We have a tendency to do that. But, you know, that's not to say that we're a good team or anything like that in the worst division in football. I mean, listen, if you caught me 2 weeks ago, I would have been way more pissed. But it's like we're starting to win games somehow. We're going to win this game, I think. Would I be surprised if we lost? Kind of, yeah. But that's only because they have nobody on the other side of the ball. You know, I don't necessarily believe in the guys we have. A few, you know, I mean, listen, Fulcomb came out of nowhere, and he's like one of the best receivers in football right now, somehow. But, yeah, the Cowboys are just a mess. And, man, if we lose to them, listen, you can have me back next week, and I'll rant all day about the game.
Sounds good. I'm looking at the Packers' upcoming schedule here. You guys actually – the Eagles, excuse me. I don't know why I'm talking about the Packers. It's green. Everyone is green. They have, honestly, the best bye week possible just because, look, you have the bye coming up next week. They have the trade deadline. I expect Howie Roseman to make 50 phone calls between Sunday night at 11:45 and Tuesday afternoon at, like, 4 o'clock. I expect him to be very active because, look, if Philly wins this game, I think you got to consider going out to trade for an offensive lineman or a defensive tackle who, you know what, is on a team where they're not going to be really going anywhere because as soon as Brandon Brooks was hurt for Philly, I kind of knew, I'm like, they got to do something. And we also knew, too, like Lane Johnson in and out of the lineup. Jason Kelsey's looked all right. But I will say
listen, the offensive line, I'm actually you know, the offensive line has been playing pretty well these past couple of weeks, even with all the injuries. Driscoll, who's one of our draft picks from this past season, he's looked pretty good. Jordan Mailata, who was like we've redshirted him for like 2 or 3 years. He was a former like rugby guy. He was playing left tackle and was doing a really good job with it. you know, if listen, the year two of Ben Byers at the deadline was last year, and how we chose to do nothing. This year, listen, even if we win this game, I want to be sellers, because you know what? We're still not going to be a good football team. Even if we win this division, we're not doing anything in the playoffs. We have to start looking to the future, because the way we're built now is not working. We need to start hoarding draft picks, whatever we do. Young guys, get the old guys out of here. I'm sick of seeing Vinny Curry on the field. You know, Jason Peters, listen, thank you for your great career. You're not the guy anymore. You held us over a barrel because you wanted more money to play left tackle in the beginning of this season, even though you signed for less to play right tackle. All of a sudden, you wanted more money. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of these old guys. Bring in youth, because you know what? Our best players right now are the young guys. Fulgham, Rager is going to do big things. Dallas Goedert on offense. Defensively, I've never seen a cornerback this good from Darius Slay. He is our best cornerback we've had in years. In years, probably since like Asante Samuel, to be honest with you. I mean, I've loved that signing, but we have to sell. We have to sell. I don't want to see how he buy anything, because you know what? It seems like a panic move for his part. He wants to save his job. He wants to be some kind of savior of the team. It's not going to happen. He built this team the wrong way. We're being coached the wrong way. And that's the end of that. If we make deals and we sacrifice draft capital, I'm going to be pissed. Because, listen, we can be 8-8, win the division, who cares? We're going to get bounced out of the playoffs. It doesn't matter. But go ahead. I'm sorry. I keep ranting. I'm very passionate about the Eagles.
That's why
as you could tell. But it's just this season has been totally painful.
This is why I have fans of other teams on here, so I can get their perspective on their team. And also, the one thing I got to say, too, and I like it, is Alex Singleton, linebacker, shout-outs, Canadian Football League.
He's been playing well. He's been playing real well.
Yeah. I just wanted to give him a quick shout-out. But with this team, do you think if they don't do anything well for this offseason, or if they kind of flame out, is Howie's job? I know you guys want Howie out, but realistically, do you think that he's got another year of safety, or do you think you could see both coach and GM out at the end of the season?
If I had to look into my crystal ball, right, and there was one that was going to be fired, I think it might be Roseman. I don't know. Listen, Doug Peterson, you can make the argument, oh, he's a Super Bowl winning coach, blah, blah, blah. I don't think he's a good coach, and I don't think it's coincidence that since Frank Reich has left the team from being the offensive coordinator and went to Indianapolis, that the offensive play calling has just been dreadful, and Peterson refuses to give up play calling duties. So that's one thing. Personally, I would like to see them both gone. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of underperforming. This is a team that needs to start stripping down their old guys and building from the bottom again. And like I said, the Dolphins, look what they've done. In 2 years, look what they did. It was unbelievable. You know, it's just one of those things where, they're going to find all types of excuses to keep these guys around. But if there's no change, that's going to be a huge problem, because I don't know a single Eagles fan that doesn't, even though we're starting to win a little bit, that thinks that this is going to be a contending team and doesn't want change in the offseason. If it's like status quo, that's a huge problem. That's a huge problem.
No, I get that. And I get every point you're making where, look, you want change. Something's got to give. Like, you can't just stay. If they stay stagnant at the deadline, I feel like it's there, but if you buy, it's going to look like, okay, he's just going all in, and it's a very risky move. But if you sell, it's going to be good, because look, you're going to be locking up draft stock going forward for 21 and 22. The big thing with me with this Eagles team is, look, you're in a division that's pretty bad enough. Like, Washington and the Giants, we don't really, they've had flashes where it's like, okay, they kind of look good, but at the same time, too, the Giants are still the Giants. They don't have any weapons. Obviously, Saquon's hurt, but then the receiving core is okay. And their defense and their offensive line is terrible. Meanwhile, with Dallas, it's like ever since Dak went out, the morale of the team just went down. Like, I'm sorry, but But if that was Dak Prescott who had that headshot that Dalton got last week, there'd be a fight that broke out during that game. And the fact that no one did anything when this incredibly dirty hit was blown, you don't do a single thing. It's like, okay, what's going on? And then your first game with Dalton, okay, you get your doors blown off Monday Night Football. But then to go to Washington and not even get more than a field goal, like, it's got me wanting to bench Cooper and Lamb tomorrow night.
Listen, the NFC East used to be the crown jewel of the Football League. I mean, for real. I mean, look at what happened the past 10 years. I mean, the last decade, it was the best division in football.
Three Super Bowls in the last 12 years.
It's the worst division in football by far. I mean, it's no question about it. And listen, am I surprised that the Cowboys, the locker room, has given up? No. Because you know why? They're a bunch of quitters. And, of course, you bring in Mike McCarthy, who notoriously had a bad relationship with Aaron Rodgers. With the team, you know, he did not free Aaron Jones. Of course, they're not going to play for the guy. I mean, these players are going to the media already. What are we, 7 games in, and they're giving up on the coach already? That says a lot. Listen, Jerry Jones, one of the worst owners in football, maybe one of the worst owners in sports. Him being the GM after all these years of not winning a damn thing is a joke. I hate Dallas. If only their fans weren't so terrible, I kind of feel bad. But listen, it's one of those things where they're probably going to finish in the basement. I think that the Giants are a better team, to be honest with you. The Cowboys suck. Period. End of story. We should win this game. I think we will win this game. And boy, if we lose though, I'm not gonna know what to do with myself. If we lose to Ben DiNucci, who the hell is that? I have no idea. It's a joke. It's a joke.
I get that, but like, look, with this Dallas team, I agree with you. How everyone goes, oh, why isn't this team doing anything? I literally say their biggest enemy or biggest like heel is Jerry Jones' ego. I straight up have started believing that. Like, I always said, like, I'm like, okay, well, when you want to talk to management, but guess what? Management is also ownership. You need a football mind making football moves. Jerry's just like, for the fact, too, you gave Amari Cooper $1 million. You gave Zeke his money. You, for some reason, wouldn't give. I understand Dak wanted Mahomes' money, which is a little, like, he's a good quarterback, but he's not that level, and I don't think anyone in the NFL is. Like, Lamar's close, but still.
Yeah.
The fact that you didn't pay him and now you, it makes you look bad. It makes, just like, the fact you want to make ownership look bad, that, hey, your star quarterback has this devastating injury, and if you franchise him, guess what? They're going to be in Kirk Cousins' land soon, where, for all we know, if Dak comes back next year and says, hey, give me this, if they say, no, we're going to franchise you another year, Dak can just deuces and say, I'm out. And I'm sure if Dak says, hey, I'm on the open market, who wants me? His phone's going to be ringing 10 times, not his phone, his agent's phone is going to be going off the hook saying, hey, we'll take him. You know, every single team in the NFL would want to take him who's in need of a quarterback, or that team that, you know what, they're looking to make a change at the position. Like, I'm pretty sure, yeah. Like, Minnesota would give Kirk Cousins up to get him. Cleveland would give Baker up. San Francisco would give Jimmy up. I'd say LA and Jared, but they're financially in a bit of a pickle right now.
I mean, listen, Denver could use quarterback.
Another team.
Jacksonville, maybe. I mean, I don't think they're sold on Minshew. There was reports last week that if Minshew didn't play a good game, that they would have benched him. There's options for Dak. But, I mean, listen, I love seeing Dallas struggle this much. But at the end of the day, I mean, I can't brag that. To a certain extent, because the Eagles are lost. You know, they're a lost cause. There needs to be change. Pretty much, the whole division needs some sort of change. It's going to take a while though, because it just seems like these new regimes come in and they give them like 2-3 years and it still doesn't work, and it's the whole cycle all over again. So, to be honest with you, I think Washington might even be the best team in the division. I like what they're doing over there. It is what it is. But man, check with me next week if we lose this game. Boy, I'm gonna be livid. livid.
If they lose this game, I will reserve my Saturday at this time to have you on to come and talk. But I actually haven't said my prediction yet. And the one thing I'm going to say, I think the Eagles win this. But at halftime, I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I don't think it's going to be a crazy one. I think it's going to be like 13-0, let's say. And then I'm going to go 23-3 is my final score for this game. I think, you know what, unless for some reason Zeke has just a feed me day, there is no way in hell the Dallas Cowboys are winning this game.
You know what, it's even if they try to feed Zeke, we've always had like a good run defense. So, I mean, that's not a problem. It's going to stop. There's really like no tape on this DiNucci kid. So, I mean, listen, he could go off. They certainly have the weapons there, wide receiver-wise. You know, CeeDee Lamb should have been an Eagle. I mean, all these guys that we picked, we skipped to pick Rager, and like all of them are producing, which sucks, but I think Rager's going to be good. I like Gallup. He's having a down year. And then Amari Cooper, he's like ultimate Jekyll and Hyde, but it seems like whenever the Eagles – play the Cowboys, he goes off, but hopefully we have Slay on him to shut him down. Listen, it could be a trap game, but I think the Eagles aren't that incompetent that they can't beat a guy named Ben DiNucci. So,
and one last game, if we want to talk,
we'll see what happens.
Yes, exactly. And one last game is the Monday Nighter. Bucs Giants. I think the Bucs are going to win this, but something potentially screams to me that, hey, look at the way that like the Chargers played the Bucs close. Look at the way that like the Bucs have played some games close, but then they kind of pull away or they come back. But you know what? At the end of the day, this Tampa defense, if they play legit, they're going to the Super Bowl, I think. Like, if they play... I don't think they have to kill teams like this, but you got to win against like Green Bay. They did. And then for Tampa right now, I feel like, look, they're good, but this Antonio Brown signing is the biggest Russian roulette thing they've done. Because one little screw up, he's gone. I also don't like it from a fantasy perspective because you and I were involved in a little trade where I gave you Chris Godwin, I took Kenyon Drake. Both guys are on the IR right now, but I have Chris Godwin in a couple other leagues. This, like, every year I always trust Tampa receivers. I'm like, oh, hey, Mike Evans, I'll give a shot. Godwin's the guy. This year, it's Godwin. Mike Evans is the guy that's flourishing. Godwin's been hurt. So I'm like, these Tampa receivers hate me, no matter who's their quarterback. It's just a thing. I personally think the Bucs are going to win that game, but at the same time, too, like I said, there's a part of me that has a weird feeling that the Giants may keep it close, but at the same time, too, I'm just like, you know what? Now, if you want to believe in Tampa and Tampa wants to know they're good, Tampa's got to kill them.
I mean, I'll say this. It seems like the Giants play every team tough. Like, you know, it's not like they've had, like, a huge blowout every week, unlike the other New York team.
Yeah.
So would I be surprised if somehow the Giants, you know, keep this game competitive? No. I think it's very possible that this is a close game. However, what Brady and the Bucs are doing down there in Tampa Bay – they're the goods. They're the goods. There's no denying that anymore. And finally, Gronk seems to be in football shape. He's starting to produce, which I know must hurt you a little bit, Griff. Him and Brady connecting down there. You know, so it's like, and you add Antonio Brown into the mix. Godwin, Evans, Scotty Miller. I mean, it seems like this is the best array of weapons that Brady might have ever had, because Belichick just refused to give this guy the talent around him, especially last season, and he's producing. You know, they have a running back in Ronald Jones. They have Fournette. The defense is playing out of their minds. Listen, the Bucks could make a run in the NFC, and you know, this could be a close game. But honestly, the Bucks are on a roll right now. I wouldn't be surprised if this is a blowout. And you know Brady has a thing against the Giants. So I think this is going to be, you know, maybe like an 8-point victory for the Bucs. I don't think it's going to be too big. But the Giants aren't going to roll over. They haven't rolled over all year. So they just aren't that good, but they play competitive. So Bucks are going to win. But the Giants, you know, it's not going to be like a 19.5 spread for the Jets or anything like that. They're not that bad.
No.
But, yeah, the Bucks will win this game.
I get that. And I have one. I use this GIF a lot on Twitter this past week, but I found the video for it, and I want to play it for you right now, of how I felt last week as the Patriots were getting killed by San Francisco and Brady and Gronk were dialing it up. From Brooklyn 99 I forget his name off the top of my head, but the captain saying to Terry Crews, just pain. That's what I felt like. I was honestly, Brady leaving, it was one of those things I always kind of prepared myself for. I woke up to like a bunch of phone notifications being like COVID, and I'm just like, this is right at the beginning of COVID. This is not what I needed right now. But I was honestly more pissed off about Gronk coming out of retirement to go follow him. That upset me more than that, just because, like, look, I was just like, I was like more, like, and he retired, the same thing too, like, I kind of expected it, but for him to come out of nowhere and for the two of them to be clicking up now, it's like one of those things where it's just like, for the love of God, like, why, but.
Listen, man, they might have saw especially for Brady, he probably saw the writing on the wall. I mean, he knew that, listen, the time was up in New England. He's probably sick of Belichick not giving him the guys around him that he needed. Antonio Brown, I mean, they signed him, but it just didn't work out. But other than that, I mean, he can only throw to Edelman so many times in New England. So, and who knows with Gronk, you know, that guy's a bonehead. But, it's like Gronk's finally turning it around. That's just another weapon for Brady that he probably didn't need to succeed. But listen, they're dangerous. They're absolutely dangerous and one of the top teams in the NFC, no doubt.
That they are, and I think I'm going to say the same thing too, because the spread in that game, I think, is 10.5 or 11 for the Bucs over the Giants.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
I think the Giants cover. I honestly say Bucs win, Giants cover.
Definitely. Yeah, that's too big. Too big of a spread.
But here's the thing, though. If the Saints go into Tampa next week and win, because this is the one narrative I love in media, especially with ESPN, because I always watch YouTube clips of, like, Get Up and, like, First Take and stuff, is how 2 weeks ago, remember, Green Bay got trounced by Tampa, and everyone was like, oh, look at how good Brady looks, and no one said anything bad about Rodgers. Brady, no matter who he's with, if he's on a bad side of an ass-whipping, it's going to be, oh, he's done, he's washed, he's this, he's that. Like, it finally took him killing the Raiders for Max Kellerman to go, oh, hey, I was wrong about my Cliff take from 4 years ago, in which Brady has since gone to 3 Super Bowls and won 2 of them. So yeah, it's just one of those things. Where, and also, too, same thing with Drew Brees as well, because they're out of, I know Russell Wilson, I'd like to see win another one. There's Aaron Rodgers, I'd like to see another win another one. Drew Brees is another guy, especially considering he's at the end of his career. I would love to see for Drew to get a second ring.
And, I mean, who knows? Even if they gave him a little bit of help last year in New England, things would have went different, because now he's overloaded in Tampa Bay. So he's put in a position to succeed, and he's succeeding. I'm sorry, Griff, but that's not happening in New England right now. So you gotta point the finger at Belichick. So, I mean, he's not going to get fired or anything like that, but who knows? There might be maybe a retirement at the end of the season.
Yeah, if they miss the playoffs, and if all does, like, when I say miss the playoffs, obviously win the division is an idealistic thing right now that I would love to see happen, but I don't see happening. But if they are, I would say, below 10th in the conference or in the league, I even though I know, like, with baseball and football, AFC, NFC, in the American Football Conference, I prefer saying conference. Saying league for different divisions is just weird. That's why, like, that's just me. But if they finish, like, in that, if they're in the hunt at the end of the season, I think he stays on, because he says, look, I can go in the offseason, add some pieces, because next year they're going to have a lot more cap room to work with. But I'm in the same boat as you with him. If they lose this game tomorrow afternoon, they got to start selling, and they got to start looking at the future. Straight up. That's my honest thoughts.
I mean,
as a,
like,
Patriots fan.
Who is there to sell in New England? Honestly, like, you have Gilmore. Gilmore can go.
Gilmore,
but
Joe Tooney on the line, because he's franchised right now, but he's going to have to get paid next year.
Tooney, yeah.
Yeah, Tooney. and not a whole lot of other people, though. You're right. When I say sell, I mean just like, look, if they can the only guy I would really love to have on the field right now, but we don't, obviously, because of COVID, is Hightower, because Hightower is the anchor of that defense. So yeah. And also, too, the Patriots are in a position right now where I went into the season thinking, Pandora's box. Right now, we're getting the evil side of Pandora's box, where I want to shut the box lid shut tight. But for now, it's a wait and see, and I'm going to take it one game at a time, see how tomorrow goes, because for next week, there's some light at the end of the tunnel, and that tunnel ends at MetLife Stadium with the team in green on Monday Night Football, where last year, it was 33-0, and they saw ghosts. So,
yeah.
There's a little bit of hope, considering the fact that after this Bills game, it's the Jets, but then, oh look, in 2 weeks it's the Ravens on Sunday Night Football, so if the Patriots go from, let's see, 2-4, if they're 4-5 at the end of the next, in 2 weeks from now, if they're 4-5, I'll be optimistic. If they're 3-6, if they're 3-6, or worst case scenario, in a very odd ended universe, if they're 2-9, yeah, it's going to be very, very bleak days for this podcast.
I mean, that's adorable of you, Griff, that you're already not panicking right now, that you're not concerned. You're not concerned, because this is a bad football team, man. I would not, and believe me, I know bad football teams when I see them. This isn't a good football team, and boy, the pressure is definitely. I mean, if he sticks around, there's going to be a lot of pressure on Belichick, in the off season. Because this guy loves to trade down in the draft, but boy, he cannot do that anymore. Considering that he's just lacking the talent, he's got to start drafting guys. There's no question about it.
And when I say the panic thing right now, I'm in front of, like, so let's say, because I'm on my laptop right now, the button's right here. I have the lid 50% open. That lid gets fully open, and that button gets slammed tomorrow if they lose bad. I want to be optimistic. But at the same time, too, if I'm being realistic, look, I know it's not, I'm not expecting them, no, there's no way that they're, the only way they would have to win the division is if the Bills go like 2-6 down the stretch. And the Patriots have this miraculous turnaround, and oh, Cam's Cam again from what we saw for Seattle. Because even, too, ever since Seattle, he hasn't played that well. Like, if you go back and look at the Vegas film, it was the running backs who really, like Rex Burkhead, who really dominated that game. And also, due to the fact that they kind of managed to pick apart, and the defense, too, the defense took away, like, Darren Waller was a no-show in that game. So, like, does part of me want to be optimistic? Yes, but at the same time, too, I know, hey, we're not the world beaters. We've still won 6 Super Bowls and have the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history. But am I anticipating them being in Tampa at the end of the season? Absolutely fucking not. That's all I got to say. And the only other thing, too, I want to say with the New England South in Tampa, if Antonio Brown starts the ball, I think that's more of a bad thing than a good thing for Tampa, because you're going to get Evans and Godwin and like all these tight ends going like, bro, what the hell? Like, we just bring this guy in and you're always throwing to him. Meanwhile, we've been here forever and we're like chopped liver. So that's just one thing I wanted to say quickly about Tampa's situation. Even though I know part of it is still bitterness and saltiness that Tom's thriving while we're hurting. But at the end of the day, you know what? I'm going to say what I want.
We'll see, man. We'll see. I mean, we're both rooting for bad teams right now. So we have, only thing we can be is optimistic. So
yeah. So hopefully there's lights at both of the end of our tunnels. It was a blast talking to you today. We're just over the hour and a half mark, but if we can always find a Saturday that works for both you and I, you're always more than welcome to come on the show and talk. We'll message you. We'll just keep the DMs open and firing up, and I hope to have you back on very soon, because this, honestly, today was a great football conversation between a Patriots fan and an Eagles fan.
Griff, this was a pleasure. It's been in the works for a while. Whenever you need me, just slide into my DMs. This was awesome. I'm hoping that I get more views than Big Rat and the Lorenzo brothers. That's a personal goal of mine, just to shove it in their face. But yeah, man, this was a blast, and thank you for having me on.
Well, no problem. But anyway, guys, enjoy your Halloween tonight. Enjoy week 8 of the NFL football season, and I'll see you guys for the next episode which should probably come out probably Monday night, if not Wednesday. I'm just trying not to record on Tuesday because obviously, even though I'm not Canadian, I'm not American, I know that, look, there's a lot more important things going on Tuesday night. So if you do live in the States, please go out and vote because obviously this election means a lot to the people of the United States of America.
Yes. Love it, Griff. You're the man. Yeah, we'll adopt you over here in America, although I don't think you want to be here right now. You're doing pretty well up there.
Yeah, you know what? I am doing pretty well up here. I'll take honorary American status, but I'm more comfortable north of the border. No offense. But anyway, guys, thank you very much. Have a good night, or have a good day, no matter what time you're listening to this, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Do, did, will, the Story of People podcast is now available on the Crier Media Network. The first 5 episodes are here and feature some incredible guests that fit into one or all 3 of those categories. Ready? Tara Sloan from the San Jose Sharks, Undercurrent podcast at NBC Sports. Marianne Iveson from Iveson Voice and the Let's Take This Outside podcast to talk about the world of outdoors as well as voiceover land. Ariana Hunsicker, future Canadian Paralympic swimmer, already winning tons of awards for this country. Scott McGregor from the Hot Wallet podcast to dumb down the world of crypto, Bitcoin, and NFTs so you don't have to. And Jackie Holowaty from Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle, Washington, the first net zero carbon certified arena on the planet. Wherever you get your pods, wherever you watch your pods, and on the Crier Media Network.
I'm Jeff Woods, and I'm shining a light on music and the rock stars who make it.
He just was one of those people. He stood out.
He was a magic guy. He really was a magic guy. We all have force. He had the same amount of force as we all had.
This was before Led Zeppelin. Robert was full on. I mean, he was Led Zeppelin without the band behind him. He had the hair, the jeans, the whole thing, you know. And he was amazing.
The Records and Rockstars podcast, heard around the world and yours to hear wherever you get podcasts. All the episodes from JeffWoodsRadio.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.